with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light, we want them to be portable, and this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to episode 54 of the Tech Guide Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. It's great to have your company. My name is Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. This week, I'm going to kick off things with some technology I've actually created myself, something a little bit different for our Tech Guide podcast. Also on the show, Ewan McGregor starts spruiking for LG in their new TV commercials, and the rumors about an Apple iWatch intensify. In the Tech Guide reviews, we'll be looking at the Logitech K810 Bluetooth keyboard. We'll also look at a device that can let you share your HD sources wirelessly. And we'll also look at the WD MyAV TV, a specially designed hard drive for smart TVs. And as always, we'll wrap it up with the Tech Guide Help Desk. Tech Guide is brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to get through right here on Tech Guide. As I said at the top, we're going to do things a little bit differently this week. For the first item anyway, for many, many years, more than 10 years now, I've been writing and talking and all about people, technology that other people have created. And I'm going to kick today's show off with something different, some technology that actually I've created. I've created a new app. So I thought just up front I would give you that disclaimer that what I'm about to talk about is actually something that I've created myself. Me and my younger brother Michael have created an app, a social networking app called VoiceByte. Now, we've been working on this project for some time. We felt there was something missing in social media. There was a lot of photos, a lot of text, some video, but we felt that they kind of missed what came in between, audio. I think the ability to share, and that's what our app does, it lets you record and share 15 seconds of audio. You can attach an image and share that within the VoiceByte app itself, but also onto Twitter and Facebook. We think that it's a great way to share content. It's a content creation tool. 15 seconds, we believe, is long enough, but short enough so that it's not too long and yet long enough to give you enough scope to share some valuable content. And the ability to share that with an image as well, it's kind of like Instagram, but you can talk about what's in your photo at the same time. And as I said, you can share it on Twitter, you can share it on Facebook. So even if you don't have the apps and you happen to be following someone, or for example, I might have shared a VoiceByte, if you do follow me on Twitter, at Stephen Fenwick, that's Stephen with a PH, on Twitter, you may have seen a lot of my tweets that have a play.voicebyte link included. Well, this is the way that we can share the content from the VoiceByte app. You click on that link, you take it to another page with a play button, and if there's a photo attached, you'll see the photograph as well. You hit play and you can hear me or hear whatever, wherever I am. You hear the audio that I've recorded using VoiceByte right there on Twitter. Even though you don't have the app, if you want to create your own recordings, then you are more than welcome to download the app. It's in the App Store right now, available only for iPhone. Just to begin with, we'll have an Android version out within the next month to 6 weeks. But it has been available in the App Store for just over a week now. What it allows you to do within VoiceByte as well is you share your VoiceBytes to your listeners, kind of like what your followers are in Twitter. So you've got listeners, the people that you follow or listen to, they're your broadcasters. So that's there's two separate groups of people there, similar to the Twitter model, but with sharing audio, of course. The audio you create, whether it's from a game, whether it's just your voice, there's plenty of scope there to give people ideas for content, to add more than just text. because we feel voice is a lot more personal, a lot easier to express emotion, and really, really sort of a personal thing about yourself that's really not being easily shared online at the moment. Now, within VoiceBite, you can continue the conversation. You can reply to the VoiceBites, so you can have a chat to your friends and family, tell them how you're going from overseas, or for you might be away, or yeah, anything you want to talk about. I often share information. I do sometimes a tech tip of the day. I often do South Sydney match reports. I do a halftime report, a full-time report. I've even done 15-second movie reviews. I've shared various amounts of content, different types of content that's been very popular. It's had a lot of plays on Twitter, so I've engaged a lot more of my listeners, a lot more of my followers, I should say, on Twitter. So engagement is making someone do something, click on a link or do something when they're looking at your stuff, and I think we've successfully done that with VoiceBite. The word is spreading very quickly. We've got a lot of high-profile people who are about to join, including some sports people, some politicians, other celebrities. So exciting times ahead for VoiceBite, and this is only the first version of VoiceBite too. This is our minimum viable product that we've come up with that was good enough for release. There's some very exciting products to come. I know what they are. I'm not going to share them with you right now, but it is well worth, if you want to join us for this journey, it's going to be interesting. Some of the products we've got in mind are really exciting, and we can't wait to bring them to you. They're just not quite ready yet. We can't have everything at once. We need to roll our product out as it's ready. If we waited for everything to be ready, we would be months away from launch. But as I said, VoiceBite is interesting. We've even spoken to some radio stations with the possibility of being able to create content because it's a natural fit for radio, of course, being voice, being audio. There may be a way we can reinvent TalkBack with people sharing VoiceBites rather than waiting an hour on hold for those busy TalkBack stations. But you'll be hearing a lot more about VoiceBite if you tune into my segment on Chris Smith every Wednesday on 2GB. I'm going to propose that we allow listeners to send their questions via VoiceBite. So rather than waiting on hold to have their question answered, they can record the question on VoiceBite, send it in to us at 2GB. We'll play the VoiceBite live on air and then have my answer to their question so that everybody's happy. They get on, they get their question on the show and get my answer to it rather than having to wait and possibly not get on the show because there's so many people waiting on hold. But anyway, that's VoiceBite, an app that is created by myself and my younger brother Michael. Feel free, download it right now on the iPhone App Store, coming soon to Android. If you want to read a little bit more about that and also look at our explanatory video about VoiceBite, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, a few months ago, I think it was early May, Ewan McGregor, the Hollywood star, and was in Australia to promote LG. He was announced as the face of LG televisions here in Australia. Well, it's now July, and they've filmed a couple of TV commercials, and they're going to air in Australia from mid-July. So it's July 8 today. So it's going to be aired in the next week or so, and their ads basically him talking about the televisions, focusing mainly on ultra HD TVs. We're talking 4K, in other words, these TVs right here. Now, what it is, the ads, I've seen them there. It shows Ewan looking up the word television in a dictionary and him disagreeing, saying, no, that's not what a real television is. This is real television. And then he's talking about the Ultra HD 84-inch TV and smaller 65 and 55-inch TVs that LG will be introducing within the coming weeks. So it's interesting to have a Hollywood heavyweight with a spruiking for LG in Australia, I believe. This is only an Australian campaign. It's not a world campaign. But he did give a very interesting reason why he wanted to join in the campaign at the launch back in May. And I found that he didn't come across as a sellout, because the answer he gave was actually quite genuine, I felt. He said that he makes movies for a living, and what better product to endorse than a TV that can bring that movie to life in your home in the highest quality possible. He said they spend literally months trying to make this film, the films look as best as they can and make them as best quality as they can. And he thought, well, what better product to endorse than a TV that can bring that quality into your home? I like that response, and I think that's a good fit for LG, having Ewan McGregor on board. Plus, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I actually got to meet him back in May, and it was a thrill to chat to the person who played a young Obi-Wan Kenobi in the Star Wars prequels. I know a lot of fans didn't like those films. I didn't mind them. Meeting Ewan McGregor was a bit of a thrill. But keep an eye out for the new ads that are going to be airing, as I said, from July 15. If you want to see some stills for those ads, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, Apple's probably one of the most closely watched companies in the world. I think we'd all agree that any move that Apple makes is usually met with much speculation. Everyone's thinking, wow, what does this mean for upcoming products? Because Apple are very secretive about their products, and with good reason. But there was a little bit of a story the other day from a website called Patently Apple. Now, this is a site that monitors patent applications from Apple. And one in particular caught our eye, and we actually reported it on Tech Guide. It was a patent for a bendable battery. Now, there's been a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation that Apple are producing a smartwatch, an iWatch, if you like, and even speculation that they are producing a curved display iPhone. So one thing these two products have in common is that they're not flat, rigid products like your iPhone or iPad. These are devices that can possibly be worn. In the case of the iPhone, it's obviously a different shape and a different design. But one thing they're going to require is power, and that power is supplied by a battery. Now, anyone who knows even the simplest things about battery technology, a battery is made up of a cell, a rechargeable cell. And in the case of an iPhone, for example, it's a long, flat cell. You bend that cell and you risk breaking it and the cell then not working. So if you do need a wearable product, a bendable product, then you would need to invent a design that would still allow the battery power to be shared with the device, but also designed in such a way that it can be flexible. And if you take a look at the images I've shared on Tech Guide on my story, you'll see that the patent designs show different cells separated by flexible joints so that the battery could actually curve into whatever desired shape that is required. I found that really interesting, the fact that they're actually putting this application in right now, because it kind of, it's never going to confirm a rumor, but it really gives that rumor strength, the rumor about the smartwatch. And I think Apple's smartwatch is going to be just way more than a product that's just going to tell the time. We're going to see a product that's going to connect to your devices, your iPad, your iPhone, maybe give you incoming email messages or tell you when you're receiving a call, or even give you information about your health, like your data, your steps that you take each day, your sleep. These are becoming very popular products. We've seen the Fitbit Flex. We've also seen the Jawbone Up. There's a number of these products on the market, but none of them kind of encapsulate all these different features. None of them have a display, for example. That would be a bit of a game changer if Apple decided to incorporate all this technology into a smartwatch. So we're going to be keeping our eyes peeled about with that one, because these patent designs really show us that Apple are going to really think outside the square for their new range of products. And they've been very quiet on the product front, apart from a couple of upgrades with the MacBook Air and the recent WWDC, the Worldwide Developer Conference announcement with iOS 7. They haven't released a product, a mobile product anyway, since the iPad mini back in October last year. It's now July, and everyone's waiting for the next thing. Is it going to be a smartwatch? Is it going to be a curved display iPhone? Is it going to be just the iPhone 5S? Are we going to see a iPad mini with a Retina display? Are we going to see the 10-inch iPad redesigned to look like that, to imitate the iPad mini design? So many questions left unanswered. A lot of anticipation ahead of their launches that we assume are coming in the next few months. iPhone, iPad, and possibly a smartwatch. Who knows? But if you want to check out my story and have a look at that bendable battery, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, Tech Guide is brought to you by the good people at Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Well, speaking of Wi-Fi, do you want better Wi-Fi coverage around your home? Well, we've all experienced those annoying Wi-Fi dead spots. And these days, with the amount of mobile devices like our tablets and smartphones, we're connecting to the home network in all different kinds of places. So a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and keep you connected around the home. It's like an extension cord for your Wi-Fi network. They'll work out with your current wireless equipment. So if you've got your current modem, you can expand its reach using the Netgear Wi-Fi extender. It's a CD-less installation, so it's very easy to set up even on your mobile devices. Netgear has a Wi-Fi extender to suit any type of household, any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect if you want to stream HD video content and maximize your online home theater experience. And if you want to boost your Wi-Fi coverage and stay connected in every corner of your home, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost my Wi-Fi.
Tech Guide now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick.
Alrighty, let's kick off the reviews with a handy little Bluetooth keyboard that I reviewed. It's the Logitech K810 Bluetooth Illuminated Keyboard. Now, it's quite a long name, but it's a handy product to have about you. Now, with the plethora of touchscreen devices, our tablets, our smartphones, and even laptops have touchscreens nowadays, but they do have a keyboard. With the amount of these devices around us, there are some times where a keyboard is favored. I know that if I need to type out a long email or a long document, I'm not going to type it on the glass. I want keys under my fingers. But what happens if I've only got my iPad or my iPhone to use? Well, here's where the Logitech K810 comes in very handy. Now, it's a small device, very portable. It's about 12 inches long. It's a full keyboard. It's illuminated too, so it's got an automatic sensor. So if it senses you're in a dark environment, it will light up just the characters on the keys, not the whole key itself. So you can easily see the keys you're working with. But what I like about this device too is that being Bluetooth, it's possible to connect to up to 3 devices at once. And say consider this scenario where you're sitting in front of a computer with the Bluetooth keyboard, you got your smartphone, you got your tablet handy as well. You're working away with the Bluetooth keyboard, the Logitech K810, connected to your PC, whether it's a Mac, whether it's a Windows device, laptop, whatever. You can be typing away. Next minute, you get a text message on your phone and you want to just type out a quick response rather than having to pick up the phone, type out a message. Well, you can do that with the K810. There are 3 handy switches, Bluetooth switches, that let you, at the press of a button, switch the pairing to the particular device you want to use. So, for example, you've got your smartphone, you've got that paired with button number 2, you click on button number 2, and then your pairing switches to the smartphone. So you can then type out a quick message, hit send, and you're done. Something you need to do on your tablet, you might need to want to write a document on there, access a document you've written before, reply to an email perhaps, then you hit button 3, and that will then connect you to your tablet, whether it's an Android device, iPad, same with a smartphone, can handle iPhone, Android smartphones as well. Very handy to have around. It's charged with micro USB, so it comes with a cable that you connect it to and be charged for the PowerPoint, or if it's connected to a PC, you can also be charging from there as well. And as I mentioned, backlit keyboard, brushed metal appearance on the top there, aluminium brushed metal, black strip at the top. The keys are nicely spaced, very comfortable to type with. And it's also got a proximity sensor so that if you walk away from the keyboard, it shuts down. And then it immediately senses your presence again and it senses your movement and automatically switches back on. A nice battery-saving feature, that is. And then you're ready to go to work. The Logitech K810 Bluetooth Illuminated Keyboard is available now and is priced at $149.95. There are images and my full review. at techguide.com.au. Many of us have smart TVs nowadays, and I think it'd be safe to say that not everybody uses all of the features. There are plenty of features that go unused if you own a smart TV. One of them is USB recording. Did you know that your smart TV is probably capable of recording content to a hard drive? Whether it's an actual external hard drive or a USB thumb drive, you could record or play back content through USB. Well, Western Digital, WD for short, saw this opportunity and decided to design a hard drive designed specifically for a smart TV. It's called the MyBook AV TV and turns your smart TV into a recorder. So what it is, it's an optimized hard drive, because normally with a computer hard drive, the data is just placed anywhere there's space on the disk. So it can then randomly pick these bits of information when it needs to. In the case of a drive designed to playback video, the drive has a slightly different design. It puts data in a smoother path so that the playback of that data, rather than it having to piece together your video from all across the disk, it puts it in a smoother path so that your playback is smoother. And being video, that's necessary. So good on WD for doing that. But what they've also done is they've taken the vibration out of the drive. They've also made it optimize the drive, because for the possibility of 24/7 usage, so it's a lot more durable and can handle the rigors of being either used often, played back often, recordings done. So 24/7 operation if necessary. So that kind of reliability. It's also been engineered to use less power and to stay cool. You don't want this drive with a loud fan. That'd be quite annoying if it's in front of your television there. So WD MyBook AV TV, available in two capacities. That's 1 terabyte for $139 and 2 terabytes for $179. It can be sat horizontally or vertically. Depends on how you want to configure it at home. It can be hidden away in the entertainment unit if you don't want to look at it. It just connects to your smart TV with a USB cable, which is fast enough to handle HD and 3D, even recordings as well. And you can also record with the 1 terabyte. You can fit 120 hours of recordings, which is a lot. And with a 2 terabyte, obviously that's double that, which is 240 hours. So available from mid-July, which is in the next few days. You can get the WD MyBook AV TV in 1 terabyte and 2 terabyte capacities from JB Hi-Fi and Bing Lee. And if you want to read more about that, you guessed it, you can have a look at techguide.com.au. Well, there is a device that I've had a look at, and it is a very handy little product, especially if you want to share HD sources to a second television. I think a great example of this would be a set-top box or Foxtel box, gaming console. If you want to view that content, maybe the source is located in one part of your home, TV's located in another part of your home, and you still want to access that source. There's a new product from a company called Action Tech that allows you to stream those, to transmit that HD source wirelessly. Now, Action Tech's product is called the My Wireless TV System. It's the My Wireless TV Multi-Room Wireless HD Video Kit. And here's how it works. There are two main parts to it. There's a transmitter and there's a receiver. On the transmitter side, small device, about the size, a bit slightly smaller than a CD case, a bit thicker though. And on the back is two HDMI ports. This is the receiver I'm talking about. There's also power, and there's also a slot for an infrared extender. Now, what you do, you want to connect, and this, in our review, we did this. We took our Foxtel signal and sent it wirelessly to another TV while still being able to enjoy it on the original TV in the other room. So you've got Foxtel in two rooms, basically. So what you do, the first HDMI port, you unplug from the back of Foxtel, plug it straight into the transmitter. You plug a second HDMI into the back of the transmitter, and then you replace the plug that you took out from the Foxtel. So what you're doing is taking the cable that connected to the Foxtel from your TV, you're connecting that to the transmitter. Then you're connecting the transmitter to the Foxtel box. So it still keeps that chain, that connection to your TV, but also then gives you the ability to then send the signal through the device. That's from the transmitter's end. You can also connect an infrared extender. So you basically connected it like a 3.5 mil headphone jack into the back of the device and near the infrared input, the port on the front of your Foxtel box, so that you can send an infrared signal from the receiver. Now, on the receiver end is where you want to take it to the TV that you want to view the source. And in my case, it was in another lounge room in the home. And the receiver then connects to just by a HDMI cable from the back of the receiver to the television. And you also connect it to power, of course. And you also connect the IR extender so that if you want to change the channel from that other TV, the signal hits that IR extender through the transmitter, then back to the box, changes the box where that other IR extender is positioned. So basically what you've done is created a bridge, a wireless bridge for that signal for your HD. It could be 2D, it could be 3D. So it's quite easy to set up, and the quality is there as good as you had a physical connection to that source on your second TV. So a terrific idea if you wanted to watch Foxtel in multiple rooms and not have to pay for more Foxtel boxes. Now, the downside of that scenario is that there's only one box. So whatever channel someone's watching on one TV, everyone's going to be watching the same channel. If you want to watch different channels at the same time, you need another box. But the ActionTek My Wireless TV supports up to four different receivers in your home. So if you want to share that signal to other televisions in your home, whether it's Foxtel or whatever other source you want to replicate, and you can do that with this device. Now, it does come in, the kit comes with the transmitter and the receiver, and that's priced at $279. You can then buy additional receivers for those added TVs for $169 each. They're listed on my review at techguide.com.au are the places where it can be purchased. But the ActionTek My Wireless TV Multi-Room Wireless HD Video Kit is well worth the investment if you do want to have that second screen to view your favorite sources. You might have a TV in the bedroom that you want to still watch your Foxtel that's from downstairs in your lounge room. This is a really handy way to do it. And there's no need to worry about snaking cables around the house, trying to create that physical connection. It's all done wirelessly. You can read my review at techguide.com.au.
Answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Yeah, well, today our help desk question is about connecting two monitors to one computer. This is a practice I've seen a lot lately, and it's actually something I'm doing myself. I recently purchased the new iMac, the ultra-thin iMac. But I do need a lot more screen real estate. I need to be running other programs, like the program that's actually recording this podcast. It's quite a large program, needs its own screen. So being able to have that added screen real estate is really important to me and is important to a lot of other people. Now, there are several ways you can do this. Whether you're using a Mac, whether you're using a PC, having those added screens really helps with sharing, spreading your work out, being able to see everything at once. Particularly good if you're like a film editor, a picture editor, graphic artist. You can have like a work screen and another screen with, say, your emails and a browser and your Twitter feed, whatever you happen to have. It's just extra screens on a computer is like money. You can never have too many, in my opinion. To have these connected is a very handy thing indeed. Now, what you can do, there are several ways you can configure your monitors. You can have them side by side, of course, so that once it's like the same desktop, so that you can even move stuff from one desktop to another. So if you've got a file that's open or a window, you can then sweep it across to the other monitor. And I've seen setups where there's two. I've seen monitors set up with three, four, up to eight monitors I've seen. That's serious usage. The good news too with OS X Mavericks, the latest Mac operating system, it has recognized the popularity of multiple displays and allowed for that to be even easier to use. So you even get on a Mac, you get your own dock and all those different screens, so that it's not just one screen that's slave to the others. They can kind of work independently, which is a really, really good move. Now, you do need to connect these monitors too, so you need to either with a VGA connection or DVI connection, so there's cable connections between the two. In the case of the Mac, it's using the Thunderbolt connection. The monitor that I've, the other second monitor is a 27-inch Apple Thunderbolt monitor, so naturally it's going to talk very nicely to my current iMac, my new 27-inch. But also laptop users could use a second screen as well. So imagine this scenario where you're at home, you're on the road a lot, you take your laptop with you everywhere, but when you get home, you want to work on a bigger screen, then you can simply add the laptop to that larger screen, and it will then be, it'll do all the heavy lifting in terms of the computing because there's a computer on board, but then you've got the larger monitor screen so you can give a bigger sense of what you're doing with a separate keyboard. I've seen plenty of those setups where the laptop then powers the monitor. That is the computer for the monitor. I've seen this situation in terms like when a lot of users who take their work on the road, they're on the road a lot, reps and things like that. When they get back to their office, they can just simply plug their laptop into the dock that then connects to the larger monitor and then the larger keyboard, and then they're kind of using a desktop computer in that situation. But in my guides at Tech Guide, I've written how to connect two monitors to the same computer. If you're thinking of doing this, it will be well worth checking out. Well, that's all we've got time for in our episode 54. You can read all about everything I've spoken about on this episode, including my app VoiceBite at techguide.com.au. And you can get in touch by emailing us at info@techguide.com.au. Please send us your help desk questions too to our Tech Guide forum. And a big thank you to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great to have your company. We look forward to catching up with you next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.